So welcome to Avcon 2014. My name is Paul and today I'm joined by Funimation voice actress Sheremy Lee.
Yes, hello.
Lovely to have you with me.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here in Australia. This is so cool.
And welcome to Australia.
Thank you. It's my very first time.
Oh, I was about to ask.
I'm loving it.
Now, I've interviewed a fair few voice actors who've worked for Funimation and I have to say, first thing, they always have the most interesting stories about how they got involved in the industry.
I started in this industry because at 6 years old, I wanted to be on Barney. Mm-hmm. So that was my goal as a child. And I started doing TV shows and commercials and things like that, and then got into voiceover when I was about seven because I sounded like a 3 year or 4 year old child. And so I did all these radio commercials for Children's Medical Center or 7-Eleven or all these random brands. And then I started doing animation and then worked for Radio Disney and had my own radio show. And then auditioned for Funimation when I graduated from high school at 18.
Wow.
And got cast as Psy in Peach Girl, which was my first show. And they've been very nice in letting me keep coming back to record things. So it's been great.
Now, you've actually worked with the big man himself, Chuck Norris.
I have.
What's he like?
Very first job ever when I was eight was getting to do the Ranger Christmas episode of Walker, Texas Ranger. And I've since gotten to work with him about two or three times. Very lovely man. His stunt double... his stunt double, Kenny Gibson's daughter, was my stunt double in an episode that I did of Walker, Texas Ranger a few years back. That was like the big show to work on when I was living in Dallas, so it was very cool.
Excellent. And you're still living in Dallas?
My family still lives in Dallas. I have since relocated to Los Angeles, but I'm back in Dallas at least like once a month to do work at Funimation and then hang out with my family and all that stuff, so...
Seems to be the case with Funimation actors. They'll start off in Dallas, and then they'll go out, and then they'll come back just for the work.
We just love Funimation. It's our family. I mean, I know all the directors there. We've all worked on shows together. And the great thing about anime being such a close-knit community is even when we move to LA, everybody's like, oh yeah, let me talk to this person for you. And everyone's brother or sister, and they all want to work at Funimation. They all want to work everywhere. So it's a very small big town, I guess. We all know everyone.
Now, I'm a big Dragon Ball fan, and I was scanning through your career, and I'm thinking, a Funimation voice actor, and there's no Dragon Ball, but I found Dragon Ball Movie 1.
Yep.
Where you played the lead female Pansy.
I did, which was so fun, and I remember the director was like, yeah, we were looking at this character, and we said, who are we going to cast? It's a spunky little sassy girl with a ball cap that's kind of a tomboy. Oh, it's obviously Sheremy. She's also a redhead. It has to be Sheremy. So yeah, that was very cool because when I first knew anime as a child, I knew Sailor Moon, I knew Dragon Ball, and I knew Pokemon. And I thought that was all of anime. Hmm. That was all of my understanding. So when I started working on more shows, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is part of anime too? I thought anime was just these three shows. So to get to work on Dragon Ball was kind of like, oh my gosh, this is full circle of my understanding of anime. I'm finally completing one of the three trifecta shows that I knew as a child. So.
And you're on to the second one now.
I am. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's very exciting to get to work on Sailor Moon. I know we've all been talking about, yeah, if they ever redo anything, we'll get to work on it. And then we found out about Crystal and that they were going to do a redub. And there's been talk about it for like the last three or so years. And so then when I got the audition... earlier this year, I actually got the call that I was cast on my way to my rehearsal dinner for my wedding. And they said, yeah, you're cast in Sailor Moon. I was like, this is so great. But the like disclaimer at the bottom was, don't tell anyone. So I'm like, excited to be getting married. And everyone's like, you seem really excited about other things too. I'm like, I am, and I can't tell you about any of those. So for the last 3 months, it's been very painful to walk into a dealer's room and see all this Sailor Moon stuff and know I can't touch it. I can't see any of it. So... as of 2 weeks ago, I can now talk about it and wear my Sailor Moon swag very, very proudly. So,
they are actually going to redub the whole of the old series as well as the new.
I think they are, and we started working on it, and it's completely uncut. So a lot of the scenes that were edited out in the original televised version will not be the case. So me and a couple of the other sailors were watching the premiere of the first two episodes, going, we don't remember this scene from when we were kids watching it. And they said, yeah, because it wasn't on TV. So I think they're trying to bring it to a wider audience of the younger kids, and also the teenagers and the adults can watch it and be a little nostalgic about it, which is always exciting. So,
now, do you model the voice of Sailor Venus on the previous voice actress, or are you doing your own thing? Or?
I watched the show when I was a kid, so I was aware of what she did, and I also listened to the Japanese, and then I've been reading Sailor Venus Codename. So when I went in and did the audition, I actually did not get called back for Sailor Venus. So I did an audition for Sailor Moon and Luna and I believe Sailor Mars. And then when I got cast, they said, we really liked the personality of your Sailor Moon audition, but we want you to go lower with it. So it was they wanted her to be a little more mature, but still a little sassy and a little crazy and definitely crazed about her pop culture. So I don't know if we're doing as much of the Valley Girl kind of style, but she is still going to be sassy and have a lot of personality. They just want each voice to be distinct and new, but definitely it'll have a lot of the personality reflected from the original Japanese and from the very first series. Venus Power!
Now, going back to Dragon Ball movie once had a life. I'm not sure if you're aware. There was a dub in the 80s by Harmony Gold.
Uh-huh.
And then Funimation themselves dubbed it through Ocean Group in the mid-90s. And now it's been redubbed again.
Yes.
Did you watch any of those previous versions?
Or? I had seen, I think, I don't know if I saw any from Ocean Group. I know that, because I know they did the Canadian voice actors, because I know all the Dallas Funimation voice actors said when they got to work on it, they were terrified because they said, like, oh my gosh, there's so much pressure that these Canadian voice actors had this, and now we're going to be dubbing it from there. So I was young when I was watching it. I don't know which voice I listened to. I guess it would be Sean Schemmel and Chris Sabat and all those guys. It's so weird knowing that I watched the show with my brother and now I'm working with these people, and so that's a very like surreal moment in my life. I'm like, I guess that was them. I guess I did grow up listening to these people that I hang out with now. It's very odd. But yeah, I think they were my introduction.
So it's a bit of a culture shock working with heavyweights like Chris Sabat.
Yeah, and my husband, he'll tell friends, he's like, yeah, we went to Vegeta's New Year's Eve party, and everyone's like, what? Wow, the Vegeta? So it's like, it's very, very strange how that all works out. Very cool.
Now, aside from Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball, you've been involved in some pretty big name shows like One Piece, Summer Wars, Sergeant Frog, Hitalia, Tenchi Muyo. The list just goes on.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite?
It's so hard to pick a favorite. I know, as it just happens, whatever the shows that I'm working on at the time, because they're off the top of my head, those are the ones that I remember to mention. I loved working on Sergeant Frog. I wish we got to do more of that, because we got to kind of come up with some different references that weren't mentioned, because the Japanese had said, give jokes that you guys find funny for your culture, because there were a lot of Japanese references from years and years back that an American audience wouldn't grasp, so we changed them based on that. Oh my gosh.
and that was John St. John, if I'm not mistaken, just poking you in the ribs there.
He was, yeah. John St. John is hilarious. And Fairy Tale, I've had a blast getting to work on that show, just because it's been such a long run. Normally we get 24 episodes, maybe 50, and then that's it. That's our exposure with the character, unless we get another season. But with Fairy Tale, we've gotten well over 100 episodes, and so far it keeps doing well, and we keep getting to record more. So it's nice to get to connect with a character for that long. And I also love working on Sword Art Online. That was the very first show that I got to dub when I had moved out to Los Angeles. So it was a very great welcome to LA, and getting to work with Bryce, which was a lot of fun. So,
now, Chris Sabat mentioned that when he was recording the voices for Borderlands 2, it was just a big family Funimation fest. What was that like for you?
Oh, it was so much fun. I think Chris Sabat was actually the one who sent me a text message and said, are you planning on coming to Dallas anytime soon? I said, yeah, I'll be back next week. It's my birthday. What's up? And he said, well, we're working on the show, this game that I can't tell you what it is. I think it was going by Willow at the time. That was its code name, because it was so top secret. and he said, I would like you to audition for this character. The breakdown was, like, this is a little sister of a guy who plays Grand Theft Auto, and she picked up Grand Theft Auto, started playing it, and runs over a hooker and thinks it's really terrifying, but also really, really funny, and is kind of afraid to admit it. I was like, oh, so it's a Mad Hatter version of myself. This is awesome. And I said, this sounds like so much fun. And Chris was like, yeah, we think it's right up your alley. And I was like, I don't know what that means, but okay. So I ended up getting to record that, which the writer and creator, Anthony, was so, so welcoming for us to be in this universe and say, here's the bare-bones skeleton of what we want this to sound like. Now ad-lib and go crazy and throw your own spin on it. So it's not always the case that we have so much freedom to create within what the writer has created, which is pretty cool. So it was a blast. And Eric Vail and Chris Sabat were directing me and had to do guitar riffs and all these crazy things and yell absurd references, and it was a blast.
I met them both. They are great guys.
They are, yeah. Funimation is a family. It's all these brothers and sisters that are all very protective of each other, but they also like to really harass each other. So it's quite awesome. And apparently I'm just an easy target. I'm everybody's younger sister, and I get to be tormented all the time. But, you know, I love them, so it's worth it.
And we've hit the 11-minute mark, so I think that's all the time we've got for.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank and welcome
you
to AVCON.
Thank you. I'm excited.